welcome to PHPBB Weekly, episode number 125 for Saturday, October 17, 2009. PHPBB Weekly is the weekly live podcast where we talk all about the PHPBB bulletin board software at phpbb.com. And as I alluded to last week, we are now 1/8 of the way to 1,000 episodes. Woohoo! Yay! Do you think you'll still be here in 1,000 episodes, David?
I hope so.
As in here. We probably won't, I wonder what we do. Maybe by then we'll actually not be using Skype. We'll be able to teleport into like a virtual stage to do the show at that time.
And by that time, everybody will have holograms of us doing the podcast.
Yes, very tiny, low-quality, flickery, light blue holograms.
And look at it this way. The maximum number of shows we can do in a year really is about 50.
Yeah, and we haven't even met that much.
No, of course not. Well, it's probably around 40, I think.
Mm-hmm. Boy, by the time, if we hit 1,000 episodes, we'll probably have a midlife crisis by then. Anywho, I'm Douglas Bell, coming from a dorm room somewhere in Washington, D.C.,
There's nobody there, you little creep. I'm an Italian chef.
Coming from Washington State.
You did Elmer Fudd before the show started.
Oh, yeah, maybe next week. Coming from Washington State, I'm David Lewis, also known as Highway of Life on the boards.
Dream deferred. Apparently sitting in as a squatter, Michael Cottingham's joining us. Hi, Michael.
Hola.
Michael is bumming off internet from somebody else right now.
That's why he's going to be very conspicuous and say very little. And we've got a special guest joining us. I'm going to let – because, David, you had a conversation with him this week. I'm going to let you introduce him.
Okay. Well, let's see. I actually met him on Twitter, and he poked me and said, hey, do you want to talk via Skype? So we had a Skype conversation. It was such a good time. I said, hey – would you like to join us for the PHP Weekly podcast? And he said, sure. So I'd like to welcome Bernard Maldonado.
Hi, everybody.
Hello. And he's with a site called Solona?
Sure. Solona.net.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to get through a couple of news things first, but he'll be chatting with us in just a little bit about a conversation we started last week since we all love CAPTCHA so much, and we talk about it almost every week now on the show, we're going to continue a discussion we had last week about CAPTCHAs and accessibility for visually impaired people. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But I also wanted to give one more welcome. He's not on the call, but you may recall about 2 weeks ago or so on our site, I put up an announcement requesting someone who would be willing to volunteer as a clerk for the show, which is a very, very lame name for someone who's essentially going to be helping with a couple of things during the show being live so that we can focus on the live show. And I'm very happy to introduce, you guys all know him well, Sam Jackson, also known as SL Jackson or Syntax Error 90. He likes the name Executive Assistant. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, I like that. We'll call him the Executive Assistant.
We'll call that now. It just means more typing. For me to. But he's just helping us out from now on. Not every week, but whenever he can. So big thanks to him. Big shout out to him. And the chat room will now be coming to you via him, which is awesome. And he actually found out that Ustream actually still does work via IRC.
So really?
If you don't want to use the Ustream chat room, apparently you can go to, I believe it's the channel c.ustream.tv, and the channel is phpbb-weekly.
I'm going there now. My IRC program a chance to boot up here. So the server is c.ustream.tv, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right, let me try it.
Now, I presume you have to use the login that you would use on Ustream.
Okay.
So in order for you to be recognized as a non-guest or But that's apparently what he's using, which is great because, you know, now you can, I guess, so he still gets to do the logging, but now it's easier because IRC clients do regular logging. So there you go. And, of course, we also have our other chat room, which maybe now will not even be used as much, PHP-weekly on Freenode. So, but, hey, that's good to know. And so I'll have to give it a chance to try it sometime. But it's because most people, I think, who listen to our show know IRC a lot better.
I will have to poke Sam because it just says connecting, but it hasn't actually connected for me unless it takes a while.
Anyway, but. Well, while you're dealing with that, David, let's take a look at some news for the week. PHPBB 3.0.6 RC3 now is out. You know, just continually trudging slowly along until I guess it'll be 5 months before. Since 3.0.5 now?
Wow. Let's see. Has it been that long? June, end of June, right?
End of May.
End of May, okay. So
31st.
Yeah, so closing in on 5 months, about 4.5 now.
Mm-hmm.
And well, actually, you know, this is good. RC3, of course, being released this week. I have not seen any additional commits come through since RC3, I don't think. I could be wrong, there might be one or two that I missed, but I haven't seen any commits come through since 3.0.6 RC3 was released, which could be very, very good news.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that would be very good news is because if it is...
Nothing else to fix, it's ready to release.
If there's nothing else to fix, then 3.0.6 will get released, which is fantastic. That
yes.
will be so exciting.
The most anticipated PHP BB release since 3.0.0.
Yes, I'd have to say, for
yeah,
sure. For somebody who likes to run on the SVN and you know has been involved since before 3.0.0 beta 1, this is probably the most exciting release, even more exciting to me than 3.0.0 was.
Well, we're not going to spend too much time on what's new because most of them are bug fixes, but there are a few notable things like something about they reverted a revision which enabled notifications and bookmarks being automatically copied over to splits of topics. But they said now they're going to discuss the behavior further because currently there's no way to influence the setting for users and admins alike. And so they pulled that from 3.0.6. You have any thoughts about that, David?
I actually completely missed what you said because I was working on something else. Say it one more time for me.
Oh, good grief. They've reverted a revision which enabled notifications and bookmarks being automatically copied over to splits of topics.
And they reverted that, right?
Because they want to discuss it further, and so they
yeah.
pulled that from 3.0.6.
Yeah, that was a new feature that they, I believe, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe that that was a new one implemented in 3.0.6, and they reverted it because they were still kind of unsure with some of the details of it, and so I think that they may not carry that over. It might be till 3.0.7, unfortunately, till we actually see that. And, you know, who knows the reasons for it. I'm sure if you actually ask on phpbb.com that some developer will state the reasons that they were thinking of that. But, you know, they have good reason to hold that off.
Seems kind of an interesting scenario for if someone's trying to split, if you split a topic and determining then what you do with the notifications, whether the person who subscribed to the topic wants to stick with the original topic or the split topic or both, or what do you think?
Right, yeah, that's the problem that they're trying to deal with right now, is trying to figure all that out. And, you know, obviously they haven't been able to come to a, you know, consensus on exactly how it should work, because what will happen is, you know, if they decide on a certain method and they go ahead and implement it, and they'll have a lot of complaints from people going, you know, no, it should be doing this. But if you do that, then you'll have the other people going, no, it should be doing this. And so they have to try and come up with a way to be able to appease the largest crowd.
Maybe a preference setting, like by default,
or
whether or
exactly.
not they should be copied over to splits or not copied over to splits.
Exactly, and I suspect that is the I suspect that is the reason that they're holding off. They may go, okay, if we have to add additional preference settings, let's wait off. Let's wait on this feature because we need to get 3.0.6 released. I assume that to be the case. Obviously, I'm not on the development team, so I can't say for sure, but that's probably the reason they're doing that.
But other than that, it mostly appears to be it's a handful of bug fixes, and it's definitely notable in that the number of bug fixes can actually fit on one screen without having to scroll.
Yeah, obviously the shorter number of fixes in between RCs is better because you know that means that you know the testing phase is going along well, and the fewer number of things, the closer we are ready to release, and I think RC3 has a good chance of being the final version. You know, we'll see after a little while. We'll give it a, you know, 1-2 more weeks, and if there's nothing significant that comes through, I think it will very, very likely see RC3 released as the stable version of 3.0.6.
I'd almost wonder if they're going to hold it out to Halloween for two reasons. One is they can have a really cool release name for it. And two, so that they can follow their established tradition of always making big announcements right after we finish the show.
Yeah, probably.
Like, always. So I had someone private message me this week as soon as RC3 came out saying, see, we did it right after the showcase. I said, well, it wasn't right after this time. But... yeah. Nah, it probably won't happen. I mean, I'd be surprised if they hold it for another 2 weeks without doing another release candidate. So we shall see. Probably a more interesting note, we've been covering very closely the best CAPTCHA plugin competition, and those results came out this week. I guess let's just go ahead and share the results. The Community Choice CAPTCHA Award went to the Fancy jQuery CAPTCHA by Enter the Eichel, and his was also the first approved, or apparently the Speedster Award. And I'm not making that up because as part of the awards, they actually got little badges on their mod topic, and the badge actually says Speedster.
Yes, I saw that. That's funny.
And the Team Choice CAPTCHA goes to the Sortables CAPTCHA plugin by Durkee. Now, I was actually a little bit now, obviously, congratulations to both Michael and to Durkee. I don't know his real name for winning the award, and I'd be curious to know what place Igor's simple math crazy math CAPTCHA plugin. I wonder what that would have gotten if it had been in the running.
Wow, that's a good question. The funny thing about that one again is it was a joke, you know. So it's not really a usable CAPTCHA for a lot of people.
But it's offered. You can download it and install it if you want to.
Yeah, you can. And I think, you know, for the boards that have to do with mathematicians, they'll probably go ahead and use that. But genius. It's a crazy math CAPTCHA. They call it that for a reason. You know, it's more for fun than more for fun and probably more for the serious mathematicians than for everybody else. Because that's the kind of.
I find it interesting. I mean, obviously, congratulations to Michael, but I found it a little surprising that it was the top CAPTCHA. Because when we were sort of previewing a lot of these CAPTCHAs about a month ago or so. Shortly around the time that the submission period had ended, and his CAPTCHA was one of the ones that I don't remember who was on the show, but kind of commented it was a little bit more. It was a lot simpler of a CAPTCHA, not quite as simple as like the simple math CAPTCHA plugin, which is a basic arithmetic equation. But this one where you just drag an icon into a circle. I thought that I seem to recall them saying that that was more of a simple CAPTCHA, and they weren't. And there was even some question. Now, at the time, we didn't have his actual CAPTCHA plugin to look at. All we had was a similar example from another website, and there were some bugs on that version of the website, such as you could only drag the correct answer over to the circle. So at that time.
You know what? A bot is not going to be able to do that anyway. So it's like, you know, if you prevent it from people from dragging the wrong answer really doesn't make that much of a difference, does it?
Yeah. Only the correct answer can be dragged into the circle. So I haven't had a chance to, obviously I don't have a board, I haven't had a chance to try out his final version of the CAPTCHA. But I found that kind of a little bit interesting that that became the community choice, which it received 47% of the votes. Second place for the community choice was the Sortables CAPTCHA, which got 35% of the votes. Whereas for the team votes, the Sortables CAPTCHA got a whopping 3/4 of the votes.
Wow.
Very lopsided for the team votes in terms of favoring the CAPTCHA, the Sortables plugin. And since when we did that show, where we talked about these a month ago, we had mostly team members on the show, and the consensus from that also seemed to be that they kind of liked the Sortables CAPTCHA plugin a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
It's also interesting because I was in IRC last night, I believe, and there was someone who commented that, I think it was iWisdom, Phil, who commented that only the Sortables CAPTCHA plugin was the one that couldn't be broken by a bot, whereas the other three could. How do you determine that?
It's all about the back encoding. I haven't looked at the back encoding significantly enough to be able to determine whether one is more breakable to a bot than others. It basically depends on what kind of coding it requires. Now, one of the biggest things, of course, is the fact that most bots, or almost all bots, do not have JavaScript turned on, at least in my testing of those that tried to register or those that did register on Star Trek Guide. Not a single spam bot actually had JavaScript turned on. Now, of course, you still have the people who would go and register and then turn it over to a spam bot to post, and those people had JavaScript turned on, but you're not going to be able to defeat those with any kind of CAPTCHA anyways. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter. And of course, the biggest thing with these CAPTCHA plugins is that all of them being unique, or basically non-standard plugins for PHP-V3, means that their uniqueness is going to mean that the bot plugins aren't going to look at that, or the bot programmers are not going to look at them and develop their bot programs to be able to solve these particular CAPTCHAs, which means that putting them on your board is going to have, even though it's an easier CAPTCHA to solve for bots, it's going to mean a higher chance that you won't be broken because the bot programmers haven't, they haven't programmed their bots to specifically solve that type of CAPTCHA.
Yeah. I mean, I did think when I saw the results of the community choice that it kind of goes to show that people like the one that's a little simpler.
Yeah, I think so too. It also looks the nicest, I think. And that probably had an effect too for those who probably couldn't test it or didn't test it.
I mean, I guess since the contest is over, we can kind of share how we voted if we want. Which one did you vote for, David?
I was biased and voted for Michael's.
Okay. Is that the only reason why you voted for his, just because of
bias? No. It definitely was my favorite. As far as just its functionality goes, I liked it the best. And, obviously there wasn't a whole lot to choose from. It looked the best, and I'm a more artistic person, so if something looks nicer, then I'm going to have choose that by default as well. So between its functionality and the fact that it did look nicer, that was sort of my two reasons.
I was one of the I voted for the Sortables CAPTCHA plugin by Durkee. And that was because part of it was a little bit of, I guess, a little influenced by that discussion we had about a month ago, but I liked it because I thought that I was looking for, my objective when looking at the contest and observing it was to find a very new idea of a CAPTCHA. And I thought the Sortables plugin really stood out to me as one that was unique that I hadn't seen before, being able to sort of determine based on doing a drag from one column to another based on sort of logic, but it's still customizable by the administrator, and using that, and it's doesn't require you to have to squint to see things. And I really liked that fact about it. And I actually thought it was kind of I think I said this before, but I think it's interesting to note how none of the capture plugins were submitted were traditional visual confirmation images. They were all something else.
Yeah, which was kind of interesting, especially because they were actually trying to encourage people to be able to use the traditional visual confirmation method of being able to distinguish letters and numbers and everything like that. But in a way, I am glad that people took it a completely different route, because I think those kind of captures are going to go the way of the dinosaur, because bots are having too easy of time being able to read them, and they're becoming too complex.
Too hard of a time reading them.
Right. In some cases, it can be easier for bots than for a lot of humans to read that same captcha. Look at how many times did you fail on the GD captcha that comes with PHBBB3?
I told you this last week when I got when I was without a computer, I briefly forgot my password. Finally, I remembered it, but it literally took me eight times over 3 weeks until I was able to solve the phpbb.com captcha.
Yeah.
And my eyesight, and I'm the only one in my family that doesn't wear glasses. I've got the best eyesight in my family.
And that captcha, now, of course, that's a new captcha in 3.0.6, modified from the original captcha presented in 3.0.0. But that 3.0.0 captcha was broken by bots. I mean, all they had to do was program for it, and all of a sudden they can break it. Well, then their only option is, okay, we'll make it wavier, more difficult, so that the bots can't break it. Well, at the same time, humans can no longer read it or have a lot harder time reading it. You know, and now for guys like Bernard, I know you guys probably read a lot of captchas, so are probably better at solving captchas than most of the rest of the world.
Well, you'd be surprised. I've been listening to your comments, and I think that it's really, really good commentary and commenting on your most recent opinion about the skewing. It is difficult to read. I mean, I use a laptop most of the time, and I'll go into more detail why later when it's that time. But, boy, they're tricky. And we tell our users, if it's Google, give us 2 or 3 tries, because they have a 20% built-in failure ratio.
Uh-huh.
Some of these are really, really tough.
Totally.
And the foreign sites, they really skew these letters. Chinese are the easiest, to be honest.
Now, actually, that's a good segue, because we're for this conversation. Bernard, your site, as we mentioned, is Salona.net. And from what I read, it's a site where you help visually impaired people by solving captchas for them?
That's exactly right. What Salona does, and the spelling of it is S-O-L-O-N-A. And the name – I'm sorry?
I just tell people there's a link in the chat room.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like in the chat room, exactly. Some people wonder how I came up with the name. Basically, I wanted a name that didn't include me because it's not about Bernard. It's not about, building me up. It's about helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted a name that sounded good for Francophones, for Spanish-speaking people, for people in other continents, so I didn't want something like CAPTCHASolution.com or helpmesolvecaptchas.org. And Salona.com, unfortunately, was taken. I'm sure you all have bought domain names. Most of my domain names were bought 10 years ago, and I'm sitting on them waiting for an act of God to come into my head and tell me what to do with them. I've lost a couple along the way to failed renewals or whatever, and kept some, and I've kind of got my lockbox of domain names. Salona is my most recent acquisition. I had to go for .net. I didn't even care about .com. I said, people will figure it out. The blind community is very, very active in mailing lists, mail groups, Yahoo groups, Google groups, boards. They're very, very well informed. And so, that's how I came up with Salona. Basically, Salona, back to the original question, it is a free service. I don't even ask for donations. Allows a blind person to register and independently solve captchas. So we provide detailed instructions. We encourage people to test with Salona prior to needing to use it, right? Because some people have to sign into their bank account with CAPTCHA. And so we say, put through a Twitter registration, just blind, you know, blindly rather. Don't wait till you really need it to start using Celona, so you know the clicks, you know how the screen reader is going to respond. But that's what we do, basically, in a nutshell, is help people solve CAPTCHAs.
Now, I'd be curious to know, which does solving CAPTCHAs all the time improve or harm the quality of your eyesight?
Well, that's a good question. You know, we solve about 1,000 a month.
Wow.
And so,
that would hurt my eyesight.
You know, I'm sorry?
That would hurt my eyesight.
Well, but see, it's not every minute. You know, we're solving maybe 35 a day. And, of course, the interface, I could go into that a little bit later. No, I don't think it does. I mean, I look at a screen off and on all day. I'm on the phone sometimes. I'm driving. I'm in front of a computer. Sometimes I'm driving and solving CAPTCHAs on a 3G mobile. So
you told us at the beginning of the show you were going to solve CAPTCHAs while we talk with you today.
That's true. I am polling on a secondary machine right now, as a matter of fact. I think I solved one about 10 minutes ago while I was paying an electric bill and listening to your commentary on the updates.
So what happens when you sleep?
Well, now that's a very good point. Celona is to back up, to lead into that question, which is a valid point, it's completely human-driven, okay? Now if you look for CAPTCHA solutions on the web, you'll come up with CAPTCHA Killer. You'll come up with some other places that talk about API plugins that you can actually solve CAPTCHAs automatically. You know, I don't think there is a way to be able to solve every kind of CAPTCHA automatically. Now, mm-hmm. We can focus on one of your site's CAPTCHAs and break it, okay? Or we could focus on the Google CAPTCHA and break it one day. But to get Google and then to get Twitter, which are different, then to get Yahoo, then to get QQ.com, which is like Skype in China, and then to get you know, some payment registration site, then, you know, register.com, they want to CAPTCHA if you want to do a Whois lookup. They all look different. Some are flash-based, some are numeric. We've got CAPTCHAs where it's a picture of an elephant that says type what kind of animal it is.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And so, of course, the ones you talked about, we certainly entertain those. So there is such a variety. You know, it's I don't know. It's like how many species of bugs are there? I mean, there's just all kinds of CAPTCHAs. There isn't one size fits all. Mm-hmm. So,
I find it interesting, and I was doing a little research after we started talking about this last week. Because last week, right before our show started, someone had posted on phpbb.com in response to the CAPTCHA contest, commenting about lack of having CAPTCHAs for visually impaired people and offering accessibility. But I kind of, on a whim, brought up the point last week that, well, the CAPTCHAs that do exist with sort of an option for, like an audio option for people who are visually impaired, the selection there kind of stinks as well. And I actually did some more searching this week. So for example, here's a Google audio CAPTCHA, what it sounds like.
9, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4, 9, 4
missing from the moon. Pathetic. I mean, he's out there in the black hole.
ReCAPTCHA is even more fun. I mean, I've said that as far as CAPTCHAs go, I think ReCAPTCHA is probably one of the better ones. But their audio is kind of weird in terms of you're supposed to figure out what the words are from something like this. Just a sec.
Please type the words with spaces between them. Don't worry if you have trouble with one word. Just enter your best guess.
Now, after having conferred with his attorney...
Once again, the words are...
Now, after having conferred with his attorney...
What am I supposed to type out of that?
Well, yeah, and so many times when I read on Twitter and mailing lists among in the visually impaired community, so it's a matter of ReCAPTCHA not explaining the difference between the written instructions that a sighted person would see, which are, as we all know, typed into a word you see in the box. Because they hear that in their screen reader, and then they click on this audio, and they also hear type the words. Well, what two words do I hear? Type. I heard 17. I heard 11. And another point about reCAPTCHA, and I applaud their effort to meet accessibility, and I believe it's an evolutionary process. It's only in English. So there's a lot of Polish blind people. There's a lot of German blind people. And, you know, they may or may not be bilingual as English as a second language. But, you know, it's kind of tricky if a person from a foreign country tries to use reCAPTCHA audio just because it's inaccessible from the linguistic perspective.
And David pointed out last week, and this probably more pertains to the Google one, he asked sort of the rhetorical question, are blind people have better hearing?
Well, I think what they have,
I can't tell you what Google's was. I can't tell you what that was.
Well, you're true. That's exactly right. I can't either. Now, I have spent a lot of time since Salona launched in April 13th, right before Tax Day of 09. I did a lot of research on audio. In fact, I've got a computer set up with a screen reader, JAWS in demo mode that I just keep reinstalling because I can't afford to buy it. And anyway,
better hope they don't listen to the show.
It's a pretty expensive program, so I just keep reinstalling it, and I can't crack it. But anyway, you know, I would listen to Google with the screen turned off and try and solve, and I couldn't do it. Of course, Yahoo, just until last week, didn't have audio on their English Yahoo site for registration purposes. Google is inconsistent because Google's a whole nother topic. You know, Google, those accounts have economic value, and I know you talked about economic value in your 121, I believe, and the whole CAPTCHA-solving economy. If you sign up for a Gmail account, the CAPTCHA is more difficult than if you're trying to email someone driving instructions through that Maps interface. Mm-hmm. The FeedBurner CAPTCHAs are easier than the Gmail account CAPTCHAs.
Since Google owns FeedBurner.
They own FeedBurner, and now they own reCAPTCHA. They bought reCAPTCHA about 3 weeks ago.
From Carnegie Mellon?
From Carnegie Mellon. They sure did. Now, they did that because Google Books, you know, they want to digitize more books, and they need some OCR effort. And that's, of course, the main focus of the Carnegie Mellon team that came up with reCAPTCHA. Mm-hmm. Now, back to your hearing question, you know, I talk to a lot of blind people on a regular basis. And they usually have headphones on, or they've got audio, you know, with their screen reader. They can multitask, type, listen, have music. So I think what they've got are finer-tuned senses. It's maybe not that hearing is better. It's just that they can process more. And it's amazing to hear how fast their screen readers are turned on. The screen reader sounds like an auctioneer.
You know what I bet it is, because you know you have to, when you lose one sense, I think you have to rely on another sense to sort of take over and process, you know, be able to handle the functions that you would normally have relied on the other sense for. And for example, like you know, for us, for typing, for example, I type at about 90 words a minute, and my brother types at 110 words a minute because he played in Jedi Academy, and to be able to fight and type at the same time, you had to type extremely fast. And so what it is, you know, when you're forced to do something to, you know, to type a lot faster, obviously, you know, you're going to be able to do that easier. And I'm thinking, well, with visually impaired, they're probably going to have a lot easier time hearing what, you know, what they're listening to, because they have to rely on hearing all the time for their surroundings, for, you know, everything around them to be able to process what's going on, you know, dangers and what they're supposed to do and where things are and stuff like that. They rely on that sense more heavily than we do.
Well, one thing, sort of as a tangent on that, I've been to some state conventions for blind organizations, and blind people have the acquired sense to use almost dolphin-like sonar bounces, where they can tell a wall is somewhere, or they can tell there's a void. And so, you know, when you see a person with a white cane and they're bouncing it up and down on the ground, and there's a plastic-like tip at the end of it, they're using that sound to kind of orient themselves and tell where a door might be or where a wall might be. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, if a person uses a screen reader, you know, for thousands of hours, and let's face it, I mean, computers are ubiquitous in our lives now with internet and mobile internet and schoolwork and stuff like that. So a blind person who's 21, 22 has grown up since they were 13 or so, probably with broadband, and they had to have a screen reader. And so they've had thousands of hours and all of the shortcut keys are very, you know, they're very well versed on that. So, yeah, I think they're able to multitask very well with that. Yeah, but certainly, having said that, at any level of computer user experience, knowledge, advanced, whatever, a CAPTCHA that is inaccessible is basically a firewall. It is like an iron box that you just can't get out of.
Mm-hmm. So then what is your sort of thought then on what is the best way to be able to make CAPTCHAs accessible? Are things like the audio generated CAPTCHAs, despite how difficult or awkward it is just for us normal people to try to hear them, still important? Or what are your thoughts on what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that audio CAPTCHA has been pretty well broken. And I think the reasoning is that if it can be digitized, it can be reverse digitized.
Right. You know, Sneaky Simeon said, or Techie Michael, I should say, he said that it is possible to automatically solve audio CAPTCHAs. There was research done on that a few years ago.
Sure. Carnegie Mellon developed and I don't have the note in front of me. I referred to it in a different podcast with a different group. Carnegie Mellon developed a digitizing tool. And so it's just reversing that. And so the problem is we've got audio CAPTCHAs from Google and Yahoo who, you know, are so difficult to hear. Google and Yahoo both have multi-language offers. So if you go to Yahoo JP, you'll hear a Japanese numeric value, but it's also distorted with that bong background and a horn and an engine starting and, you know, maybe a bicycle sound or whatever, rocks falling. It could be anything. I personally think, back to your original question, if you look at a capsule like twittermail.com on their contact form has a unique caption. I think David, if I'm not mistaken, you and I were talking about this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it combines Honeypot with keyboard usage. It doesn't have any language barriers because there's no question answer. The rogue agent in the form of the bot lands on that and thinks it's a phone number field. Now, the problem is that a screen reader user also thinks it's a phone number field. But in that case, what we would do is encourage the community to communicate with each other and say, hey, when you get on this site, you think it's a phone, but it's really just hit your arrow key 9 times to the right and you're going to unlock this CAPTCHA.
Right.
That is very interesting.
Are you guys referring to this one that says, are you human, please slide to the right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that one you have to do with a mouse?
You can do it with your – it's a tap stop, so you can also do it with your right arrow, and that's what makes it accessible because –
my right arrow isn't working on it.
Well, you have to tab over to that space. You have to tab to that – to the CAPTCHA itself.
I'm trying.
If you're on the message box, on the edit – on
the contact page.
Yeah, if you're on the message box.
I can't tab to it.
Let me go there and take a look because I just did it this morning, I think. Twitter.
Well, and of course, there are specific browser settings for being able to tab. You know, your browser will be set to be able to tab or not tab to certain things.
That's true.
But if it's a regular input box, it should tab there regardless. But if it's a special setting, then
I was on the message where it says English and Dutch only, and then I tabbed one time, and then it landed the focus to the button on the bar, and I was just able to barrel over. That's interesting that you're having – are you using Safari or Firefox?
Firefox.
Because I've tested this with visually impaired screen reader users, and they've all been able to bypass it. But as a, at a concept level, you know, 10,000 foot, we're looking down on the landscape. This kind of CAPTCHA has a lot of promise to me because, of, you know, the language barrier is not there. The form can be in any language and whatever – and screen readers are in many, many languages. So when a person lands on that CAPTCHA, they're not going to have any interference as long as they know that it's not a phone number field. It's a you know, something you interact with your arrows.
So. Right. So now let me ask you this. You know how images, basic XHTML strict, you know, requires you to, for example, enter text into the alt of an image. And is that for accessibility for the visually impaired? Is that what that is? Does the screen reader read that?
Absolutely. It sure does. In fact, there's a service out there called WebVism, WebVism, that works with Firefox and allows people to make corrections so that when other people land on that web page, WebVism overrides what those new alt
tags are.
Because many times images or buttons are mislabeled, and so a screen reader is sort of on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're in a
It's just reading what it's seeing, and if it's wrong, it's going to read what's wrong.
Exactly.
There's no way for it to know. That's a brilliant service.
I'm pretty sure I've read in a book, one of these books about web design, that actually is actually part of United States law for websites. I don't know if it's all websites or government websites or what the thing is, but to have, you know, such things such as alt tags or other things set up to allow accessibility when viewing web pages.
Sure. That's usually referred to as Section 508 compliance.
I think that's it.
Yeah, there are companies that help other companies certify their website because a web developer may or may not understand all the ins and outs. And so you can get an audit, a friendly audit basically that says, okay, make these corrections, make this change.
www.section508.gov.
Section508.gov.
There's actually a website for it.
Mm-hmm. There sure is. There sure is. And, of course, W3C has, you know, addressed that, of course, and their accessibility. They're a little out of date, I think. But 508 and accessibility in general are quite a big topic. And the consensus among people who spend a lot of time in those circles is that the more accessible a service is, the broader community will like that service, you know. As our population ages, and they're of course using the internet to do things and stuff, it just makes for a more friendly experience.
Yeah, in the chat room, PHPBB expert said that Target got sued for millions for not being accessible.
That was last year in August. They got sued $6 million. They settled the lawsuit, the accessibility lawsuit for $6 million. It says basically. They settled the lawsuit with the National Federation of the Blind.
Yeah, the NFB is one of the three major advocacy groups, the other two being ACB, American Council of the Blind, and then American Federation for the Blind, which is a little different group. But NFB is a major, major force for structured negotiations and stuff like that, structured settlements.
So this is kind of interesting because, you know, they paid $6 million in damages to the NFB, which said basically that they would be they would distribute the money to individuals affected by the fact that Target.com website was inaccessible. So if you own a business website, that's interesting. You are required to make that accessible under the Section 508, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. And a lot of companies, I can name one right now, Adobe, is really under the microscope because Air is inaccessible. And so, you know, when more and more applications, Flash is inaccessible in many circles.
Someone mentioned it actually in the chat room that the Ustream chat website, I think, is very much based on Flash, and it itself is not accessible, because sort of Flash is not accessible. And a lot of sites use Flash. YouTube
they
is
sure
the
do.
Most popular Flash player out there.
People make a living developing Flash, and so it's certainly going to have a big presence out there. Twitter, there's a if you go to a website called accessibletwitter.com, that is an alternative to twitter.com, and of course is built on the API because it doesn't use all of the non-HTML links. There's a couple of clients for Twitter that the blind community has developed on their own. One's called Quitter, Q-W-I-T-T-E-R. Another one's called McTwit. Fascinating developments, just fascinating programs.
You know, that's funny. Actually, that brought to mind a quote from, what was it, Van Diesel? No. It was from the movie called The Pacifier. Have you ever seen that movie, Van Diesel?
I never have, no.
Yeah, hilarious movie. But anyway, he said one of the quotes from the movie was, you're a quitter, and everybody knows that quitters quit. It's hilarious. But
I think the last Vin Diesel movie I saw was on an airplane. It was Fast and Furious. That's how far behind I am.
That's funny.
So for now that the bringing this to PHPBB, and I like your opinion on this, we now have 5 CAPTCHA plugins in addition to the default ones, which include ReCAPTCHA, 2 kind of hard to read visual confirmation things, and a Q&A. But obviously, from our standpoint as hosts of this podcast, we still want to encourage people to keep developing more CAPTCHA plugins and better varieties of them. What are some ideas that you think would be great, particularly from an accessibility standpoint, for a PHPBB CAPTCHA plugin?
Yeah, that's a good point, and I really do appreciate you as sort of leaders in the community and people who are recording a show like this that gets heard by a lot of people in the PHPBB community. I think that I would encourage people to maybe reach out to some blind programmers, and I'm certainly able to, I could give you some names on Twitter and people like that who maybe could give you all some feedback, and say, hey, these are technologies that we can work with, like Braille output displays. I spend a lot of time thinking about CAPTCHAs and what would be a good one. Sometimes I think, most blind people know Braille, and maybe there's a way to integrate a CAPTCHA with a Braille output device.
Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting.
A rogue agent would really be unable to do.
I wonder how if PHP can connect to Braille output devices. That would be interesting.
Yeah, or somehow understanding the way screen readers work, and maybe if there's – and this is an area that I haven't done much research. If there's API for, the major screen reader programs, JAWS, Window Eyes, NVDA I think that a CAPTCHA that could work with one of those to start with that is not going to be able to be cracked by a rogue agent because they probably won't have JAWS installed, that would be another alternative too. But it's an interesting topic. Salona exists to help solve CAPTCHAs remotely. I think one day that Salona is going to be kind of worked out of the market because – kind of like you all said in the beginning, the text-based CAPTCHAs are going to go away in favor of more interactive CAPTCHAs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at Salona more as a bridge, not as a permanent fixture in the community. Mm. And, the last thing I want to do is build dependence on Salona because I want to encourage responsible developers to work on accessible CAPTCHAs that can be marketed and implemented to website owners. So the idea is, okay, this is a way for people to solve CAPTCHAs now. One day we won't be necessary. Salona can go away peacefully because CAPTCHAs are accessible. And so
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because really the battle comes from spam bots.
It sure
and,
is.
You know, it's kind of interesting how that has really affected our whole world as far as the online world goes. And you have, you know, it basically websites started out, they didn't have captures, but basically anybody could register. And then, you know, spammers said, hey, you know, we can use this method to spam everybody, you know, with our content. And so then that forced website creators to put up CAPTCHAs. Well, then all of a sudden, visually impaired people couldn't register. So then he had to make it accessible in that way to make sure that, you know, visually impaired people could register. And then, of course, you have the issue of where not everybody can see CAPTCHAs as well as other people can. You know, and I think the PHP3 GD CAPTCHA, the new one, is a prime example of that, where it's not really that easy to see or read. And, you know, there is a pretty good failure rate on that. You know, even a 20% failure rate is fairly high. And so then what you have to do is go, okay, well, you know, CAPTCHAs, are they coming to an end? Are we going to have to find another way of somehow blocking spam bot registrations? And one of the ways to prevent spam, of course, is to prevent spam bot registrations. But what if the spam bots can read whatever CAPTCHA you put up there? What do you do? Well, I think the next step comes in
like,
being able
like
to...
It's like a Mobius strip, David. You're like
what?
Describing a Mobius strip. It never ends.
Yes, possibly. That is very possible that could be the case. But I think what it comes down to is content reading. You know, where you have – like email filters are built this way where basically based on the content, it's able to determine if it's spam or not because of, you know, amount of points that it gives it. Is it Bayesian spam, you know,
like,
sends it points?
You're talking about a thing like a kismet, David.
Yeah, something like that. Or even, you know, there's a mod for PHP3, the ACP, or the spam ACP mod or something like that by XReaction. And what it has, one of its features is to be able to have catchwords, you know, certain catchwords, Cialis, Viagra, for a new user. If those words are in there, for example, it might either ban the user automatically or, you know, basically make the post unapproved, and a moderator has to go and approve the post before it is visible. So
yeah,
that could sort of be the next step.
Yeah, I think you're really along the right lines. In the chat there, I just typed in the last thing I typed was FormArmor, which is a for-profit company to which I have no connection, although we're in the same city geographically. What they do is they work with contact form owners and say, okay, we have proprietary ways to evaluate every instance of your form being completed. And we know based on, you know, thousands and thousands of, you know, entries what spam looks like. And you, David, kind of alluded to UTC-12 as how 98% of the, you know, the entries or whatever are set to a time zone where people can't stand on land, I guess.
Yeah, you know, and I don't think that'll block everything because obviously a lot of the, like, for example, on Star Trek Guide along, and a lot of the spam registrations are with human intervention. And no matter what kind of CAPTCHA you put there, human intervention is always going to be able to solve it.
That's true.
And then turn it over to a bot, which will then spam you. So you really, even though you prevented spam bot registrations, you haven't prevented spam human registrations that can turn it over to spam posting bots.
It's
so you still have to be able to deal
human,
with the spam once it's posted.
As Lona is actually a human intervention service, so...
Exactly,
You're doing the same thing that helps spam bots succeed. It's all your fault.
Well, that's true, and I'll certainly confess we have been taken advantage of a couple of times.
Oh boy.
Especially when the China factor, which I so gently call it, the China factor came into play. I guess a few months ago, I started getting these Chinese websites. What the heck is this? Well, what we were getting in many cases, and our count was way up, and what I thought was, wow, these Chinese people are fast, you know? They're good. I mean, they're good, you know? And I would joke with some of my, you know, friends about it. And turned out what they were doing, I couldn't read the characters. They were sending spam text messages, you know, Viagra and lottery. Oh no! So we had to implement a. Basically, we blocked about 98% of the country of China.
Ouch!
Unfortunately, and because it was really bad, and you know, operators don't want to see that, you know, and so. Anyway, we were taken advantage of for a short while. India was an issue. What we look for are repetitive Google account registrations. You know, Google and this one called QQ.com. I can't harp on that enough. QQ.com is just, you know, a major magnet for spam and garbage and everything that's bad. So we really cleaned it up, though, pretty well. But yeah, you know, one of the big revelations that I had was going to Twitter and typing in CAPTCHA team, TEAM, and what you get is all these Twitter messages from marketers who sort of hide behind the guise of freelance work, you know, 80 cents per thousand CAPTCHAs. And so what you have is almost this capitalistic model of, you know, the spammer who needs the accounts, and then you've got the marketers, and then you've got the people in India who do the work. And I think we all know that Google accounts probably send out 10 messages or so, and then they get recycled and may not send out anymore for a while. It used to be they'd send out thousands, you know. So the human factor is very difficult. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
But Solana has a pretty good handle on, and we don't work on an invite system. Anybody can join. We do some due diligence to see who is joining and verify they're visually impaired. I think we have a pretty good handle. You know, we do have red flags, a way to identify activity that's not normal, and we will block IPs if we need to.
So just as an opportunity for us to hear just a little bit more about how Solana operates, could you briefly touch on how someone who wants to use your service to solve a CAPTCHA is able to send that CAPTCHA to you, and also how someone who's interested in helping solve CAPTCHAs can get involved?
Well, sure. The way a visually impaired person would use Solana is to register, of course. And then they can download a tool that currently works on Windows that facilitates taking the snapshot. Solana works because they take a picture of the CAPTCHA. And you can take a picture on Windows. You can take a picture on Mac. We even have blind Linux users. There is a screen reader called Orca, O-R-C-A, that works on Linux boxes. And so people who are interested can use Linux. Solana is cross-platform because we take images. There is no plug-in necessarily. Person lands on a form or a registration page. They realize there's a CAPTCHA. They would open up a new tab, log into their account, and then take a picture of that screen with the CAPTCHA. And we go into some instructions on how to protect their privacy. We say don't fill out the form until you take a picture of it. And submit that to Solana through a very minimalistic, very low bandwidth specific site. Very easy to click through, very easy to upload. Within about 30 seconds, maybe 45 seconds of uploading that image, an operator solves the CAPTCHA, and the user gets that CAPTCHA code through the web interface, or they get an error message. And we try to be as descriptive as possible. Hey, you need to maximize your browser. Images are turned off. You need to scroll up a little bit. Or, hey, you're not on a web page. You're on a, you know, Excel screen or something. Or maybe a program is hiding the CAPTCHA, like Task Manager, that in Windows is set to always be on top. And so we tell the person as descriptive as possible how to rectify the situation so we can help them solve CAPTCHA. And then they receive the text. They can leave feedback, and we really, really rely on the feedback because we want to know, are we doing a good job? Are we doing a bad job? Did the code work? You know? And some sites, we just know we can't solve, like MySpace. MySpace is a very, very difficult site for Solana to solve because of the timeouts. Those captures have a life of about 40 seconds.
Ouch.
And that's, for that reason, when you sign up for MySpace, the only thing on the screen where the captcha is the captcha, because you can't fill out your name and your birthday and your city of birth and your mother's middle name or whatever. You land on that captcha MySpace, you got about 40 seconds. And they don't have audio.
You know, and it's kind of, that's kind of interesting. And the reason that they did that was due to spam registrations.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and spam has been a huge issue. And I think the captcha solving services have been popular with spam bots or spammers, and being able to basically spam a whole bunch of accounts or sites or whatever and send their captchas to the spam registration services. And so the way that MySpace dealt with that is they put that limit in there. And so, yes, it does cause a huge issue for the visually impaired to be able to register. And so what is the solution for the visually impaired for that?
Well, that's a good point. And what a visually impaired person normally does is just asks a sighted person for help. Now, there are two, what I would call, legitimately recognized solution services. WebVism is considered a very reliable service. They're not as out there as Solana is. You know, Solana is a little more accessible to people, and WebVism is a little more quiet, although we do have a very friendly relationship, and, you know, it's kind of like DC talking to the Kremlin, you know. We talk a lot about and share notes on what's going on. They can solve it because they're a little faster than Solana is.
Right.
You know, the steps in Solana, because it's universally available, Solana works on cross-platforms, any browser. WebVism only works on Firefox, on Windows. So a little more restrictive.
I know we're actually hitting about an hour now, so I want to make sure we speed up a little bit. But I wanted to ask, you know, I know that Solana,
let me answer your. You had a good question. What's the solution?
Oh,
I'm not sure. You know, the way I look at captchas is I kind of look at the internet like a highway, right? You can't have a 90-degree turn in a 70-mile-an-hour highway, and so the captcha has to be kind of like a toll plaza. You know, you can go through a toll plaza with a toll tag or a sticker or wherever you live on your turnpike. I mean, you can zoom through at 70 miles an hour and pay your $2 toll and you accomplished your goal. Captchas, you know, from the 10,000 foot perspective, to me, kind of have to be the same way. Mm-hmm. You can't ask a person to go bake a loaf of bread in the oven just to post on a forum. that ain't gonna fly. I mean, no one wants to go through that. And it's a very and also website owners, as I know many people in your audience are, can't be expected to change on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, websites aren't set up just to, well, let's put a new caption. There's no right click save as, right? This, you put one thing here, it breaks something else. Oh, now this doesn't work. Users get upset. They don't want to come back. It's very delicate. And so I really do understand that it is a battle. You've got this group of people who are defending their property. You know, they you all, and myself included with my internet properties, I get threats. I've been taken advantage of. I've had rogue users and all that stuff. And it's tough, you know. Then you got this other group who is just invading and invading and invading, and it's like they have nothing better to do. Why don't you go watch House? You know? Turn on Law and Order. What are you doing trying to break into my property? Leave, just get out of the forum and go watch Zulu or something, or Hulu or whatever it's called. I mean, what are you doing? What is this, you know? And I'm sure to them it's all just a game, you know?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think, you know, remember phpv.com was hacked back in February of this year. And from a guy who really just did it for fun, it was a game to him. It really wasn't to It really didn't serve him any purpose, any other purpose, but for the heck of it.
Ego.
Now, did he change the front page? Or did he
no,
just send
he deleted.
You an email,
he like, deleted.
I'm looking at a hash line.
Yeah, he deleted. He actually started deleting the entire database.
Oh, jeez.
We have a whole episode on this, Bernard. I can get you the link to it after the show.
Yeah,
it was
very detailed.
That was like the weirdest episode because it was like, you know, it's like CNN high alert status. Because we were like so focused and so serious on everything that happened because the site PHPB.com was hacked and the PHPBB CAPTCHA was hacked that same week.
Yeah.
It was like
not a good week for PHPBB.
It was a heightened alert show for us, and that was like weird. And the following week's Valentine's Day, and boy, we had to get cool off a bit.
You know, it's amazing because determination is so powerful. Whether you're trying to buy a house or you're trying to win a football game or you're trying to crack into an internet property, determination is a really, really powerful factor. And I know that you know, just like the people who were sending me Chinese captchas, and you know, they just, well, you're there solving them. And they were probably blind Chinese people just sending out spam messages, you know? Because Solana, if you're a user, is just inconvenient enough that you don't want to keep doing it, you know? It's not just click a button and you get your code. You got to upload a file. You got to click here. You got to wait. It works really good, but it's just enough steps that a person that wants to make like 1,000 Google accounts ain't going to use Solana. It just ain't happening because there is no just one click and you get your code. So that's all.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of a good idea because it does present a little bit more difficult avenue for spammers.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't, you know, because spamming is all about mass.
You're exactly right. No, now that's where Kubeface. I put a link on the Ustream chat. If you're a Facebook user, Kubeface was just a disaster. Okay, because Kubeface was, you know, powered by human eyes, right? Solving these captchas that were legitimate, and so you have an army of people making 20 cents or 80 cents per thousand. And I know in your previous episode, someone very, you know, eloquently referred to a developing country, $4 a day pays your bills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're unemployed or you're a kid and your parents say, hey, you know, you need to figure out something to do, and you go down the street and see, you know, work for 80 cents an hour, or maybe that's a wholesaler and he'll pay you 60 cents an hour. You work for 8 hours a day, you solve 5,000 captchas, you're doing all right.
Yeah.
And I think it goes back to, you know, the Google CAPTCHA has been cracked. The Hotmail CAPTCHA has been cracked, but
Hotmail,
it's still the same.
Who still uses,
you know,
Hotmail?
I'm sorry? Yeah, I don't. But the Yahoo CAPTCHA, you know, you probably remember Easy Gimpy. Easy Gimpy was considered a really good CAPTCHA way back in the day, but it was cracked, you know? And now we've got things like, and I can rattle off some stuff here. I made some. Let me copy this into the chat because this is a really interesting CAPTCHA. Completely inaccessible, but it's an interesting CAPTCHA.
Accessible. Ouch.
Because it's based on 3D images, and the, you know, there's a lot of technology I think that goes into making that work. The whole concept of text CAPTCHA is interesting. You know, has anyone heard of those MSN Messenger bots you can follow that will actually talk back to you?
No.
Yes.
The
MSN bots that IM you and then talk to you?
Yeah, they will talk to you. So,
yeah.
You know, it's interesting how someone thinks they can come up with a question that can't be answered when you can talk to a computer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's a service called textcaptcha.com. And they say they have 170,000 questions, or maybe it's 170 million. I don't know. I mean, if a computer can talk back to you with a certain degree of accuracy and logic, then, you know, I'm not sure how any text CAPTCHA will ever work.
Of course.
You know,
Do need to start wrapping it up, but I wanted to get an answer on something I asked earlier, and I think you missed, was how can someone who's interested in helping out Salona as, like, helping SolveCap just get involved?
Well, I really appreciate you bringing that up, because Salona really doesn't have a lot of coverage, you know? I used to solve them when I was driving, and I gave that up because I just realized I was putting myself and other people in danger.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got a little 10-inch netbook and a 3G card and on a USB cable, and I just said, I can't do this anymore.
Remind me not to drive on the same highway with you.
Huh?
Remind me not to drive on the same highway with you. Your eyes on your netbook selling captives, and I'm trying to look at the road ahead.
You know, basically, Salona is on currently during normal central time zone hours. We really need somebody in Italy or Ukraine or somewhere who can do this. Basically, just, you know, send me an email. If you go to Salona.net, the first blog post you see right there is how you can help Salona. The beauty about being a Salona operator is you don't need anything special. You just need a browser, and you put pop-ups open from Salona. You get one little pop-up. You can turn it off. If you don't want to solve many more captures or you're getting up from your desk, you just turn it off, and somebody else will get it. You don't talk to anybody. There's no emails. There's no files to upload. There's no files to download. It's really, really easy. I mean, I sit at a desk most of the day, like many people do, and I only have one computer, you know, on my desk, although I usually have a laptop on somewhere else. But basically, you see a little pop-up that says, hey, there's a CAPTCHA. You solve the CAPTCHA. It takes about 10 seconds for the image to get on your screen and a little box where you just type in the code, or you type in a message or select from a a pool of messages. Like, hey, you need to maximize your screen. Your image is turned off. This CAPTCHA is too difficult. Could you please refresh and send me a new one, which we do on occasion. It's just really, really easy. So,
and as a free bonus, you also get real-time feedback on how good or horrible your eyesight is, free of charge.
Well, there is a caveat to the feedback. Right now, the operator doesn't see feedback.
Bonus.
There's no way. It's a very anonymous system. You know, you really don't know who's submitting a CAPTCHA. They don't know who's solving it. They don't know if you're in a car or if you're in the White House. You know, I mean, you could kind of be anywhere.
Luck.
You could be at a library solving CAPTCHAs. I solve them at work. I solve them at home. I used to solve them at the gym. I got kind of tiring, you know. I've got a Stairmaster, and, you know, I just – it's got an extended battery, and I can't do this. I'm getting too much sweat on the laptop, you know. Threat of it being stolen or whatever. But, you know, we really do. I mean, I really appreciate, if anyone has any interest in learning, no pressure. I mean, I'm not going to send you messages all the time. You work when you want. Turn it on for an hour. You may get 3 captures. You may get 10. If you're getting too many, turn it off, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's just a real easy way, and you're doing a good service because people legitimately need to solve captures. Case in point, D-Link. D-Link came out with a captcha for the routers.
Oh, wow.
Because routers were getting hijacked by rogue agents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, that's kind of hard. I mean, it's inaccessible. They can't use reCAPTCHA because reCAPTCHA, as you know, is server-based.
Right.
Well, you can't have all those words and images from books on a little chip, you know.
And if you are having trouble connecting to the internet because of your router, and so you have to log into your router to fix whatever it is, obviously you're not on the internet and you can't submit it to a service like Salona, right?
Exactly. I think in response to some pressure, D-Link did make a firmware update that says, okay, you can turn this off. Because they initially launched 4 new models with a CAPTCHA that you couldn't turn off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, we can all go say, buy Linksys. But, you know, maybe you didn't know it had a CAPTCHA. And maybe the store won't take it back just because you can't access it, you know. So visually impaired people really rely on a bit of accessibility, and certainly Solana is there to help. But in a case like D-Link, you know, it's really tricky.
And one of the things that we were talking about the other day when you and I were chatting was the fact that the visually impaired people actually use the internet a lot.
Oh, they do. I mean, it is, you know, I'm sure as we all know, the internet's a big part of my life. I mean, I'm on a BlackBerry, I'm on a netbook, I'm on a desktop, email, Twitter. Visually impaired people rely on that for bills, because most snail mail is not in Braille. Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you read a credit card bill when it comes in the mail? Well, now you can read a credit card bill online, because any bank that's worth their salt, give me just about 10 seconds while I type something. Hang on, just
so basically any right now. I can kind of finish your thought. I think basically you have a screen reader which can now read you your bill, which you couldn't read from snail mail because it's, you know, it's not in Braille, so you can't see it. But having everything online, now all of a sudden you can see it because you can hear it. It can be read to you.
Exactly. And so whether it's an insurance statement or a bill of some sort, electric bills, you know, all these things. And so the accessibility technology community is really, really powerful. If you've ever heard of CSUN, CSUN is a huge conference that was started by a university in California. All they do for like a week is talk about accessibility and show new products that are accessibility related. And so there is a big push for products to be, you know, more accessible. And Solana just focuses on not only solving CAPTCHAs, but advocacy. We've worked with some websites, just to name a few. We've worked with ezineandarticles.com. We've worked with wakerupper.com. We've worked with Formspring. We've worked with the Dell outlet to say, hey, you know, let's fix some of these issues because users are having trouble. The articles I write are normally about sites that are just violently, you know, avoiding the needs. There's the White House has a CAPTCHA.
Uh-huh.
Now, how could the whitehouse.gov contact page, at the bottom it says 508 compliant. Right? We adhere to 508 accessibility, and they have a CAPTCHA. So senator sites have CAPTCHAs. I wrote an article about the State Department.
That digital TV transition coupon thing used reCAPTCHA.
The what?
Actually, yeah, the White House uses reCAPTCHA.
They do.
That's the digital TV transition thing. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. reCAPTCHA is audio. They do have an accessible option, but just because it's accessible doesn't mean that it's solvable in many cases. And so, you know, most of what I solve, I get a lot of Craigslist. Solana does a lot of Craigslist posts, a lot of Twitter registrations, and Twitter is reCAPTCHA, a big reCAPTCHA house. So, you know, between solving CAPTCHAs, advocacy, working with websites to improve CAPTCHAs, and we've had some good success stories, you know, one by one. And I also write articles about websites that don't use CAPTCHA. You know, social networking sites that use other forms of security to avoid spam. So
a lot of times I like those better. And actually, this kind of brings me back to one of the questions that I had before. You know, you talked about that Solana is a it's not-for-profit service, and you don't take donations. But how do you make it worth your time to do this?
Well, basically, it's worth my time because I know I'm doing something good. And mm-hmm. I think that someone who has the means, whether it's time, and keep in mind, I'm just as determined to help a visually impaired person as a rogue agent is to break into our websites. You know, I'm determined to have a service available through as many time zones as possible, as many hours of the day as possible, so that someone can solve the CAPTCHA. And unfortunately, I know that a lot don't get solved because I'm asleep or the other operator's asleep. By the way, in case you're curious, Salona has a red light, green light system. So a user will never log in and submit a CAPTCHA that won't get solved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If it's off, the submit function is disabled. Now, you can log in because
that still sticks to the user who wants to register at that particular moment, though.
They can register and they can log in, but they get a message, and even the front page says Salona's off.
Yeah,
you know? If it's green,
to go back to solve the CAPTCHA later.
Yeah, and basically, you know, sometimes I used to do Twitter updates like Salona's on, Salona's off. I got kind of tired of that. So basically, a user just lands on the page, and if they see the on, they know it's on. If they don't, then it's off. And you know, obviously, the service will be better with more people in time zones. H-A-G-I-O-N. I'm sorry.
Well,
I can't talk and type at the same time.
If you do volunteer to, you know, do this, you can certainly have some bragging rights for your friends. Like, hey, what do you do in your free time? Oh, I solve CAPTCHAs for blind people. Whoa.
Well, and the neat thing is it's so easy to integrate to common computer use. You know, if you're just sitting there doing homework, you know, like all the time I've been talking to you, I've been sitting here and I think I've solved 4, maybe 5. And you know I can't talk and type. I told you, but it's a very non-invasive way to help somebody. And so, anyway, I know I kind of diverted from your question. Why is it worthwhile? I just think it's a great way. This is what I have chosen as a way to give back to the community. I don't want donations from users. What I'm working on now is turning Salona into a nonprofit 503 certified by the IRS organization, because I want donations from companies. You know, I pay the developers out of my pocket. I'm not a coder. I can't even spell PHP. Okay? So, and I can't spell my
hypertext preprocessor for the win.
Yeah, I really am not qualified to code, but I have a really good relationship with coders, and I have a really good relationship with website developers. So I pay them for their services, and I just think that one day, you know, Salona will stand on 2 feet. And it's really in its infancy. It's only been around for like 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
You know, April 13th is when it launched. So I think that for me, I look at it as an evolution. Nothing happens overnight. I get a lot of user comments. Hey, why aren't you doing this? Why can't you do that? Stuff takes time. It's got to fit into, you know, the other departments of my life, you know. So I'm committed to not advertising on the site. I don't talk about my other internet properties. I don't talk about my work on the site. Salona's Salona. It solves CAPTCHAs. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it advocates for visually impaired people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice. Although I see what you're doing, and I think it makes sense. But I think that you should look at being able to take some money in somehow, because there are bills to pay, and it is good to be able to pay those bills, you know, without having to come out of pocket with every single thing you're doing, even though you're providing a good service. But
oh, don't get me wrong. As soon as it's a 503 and I can give somebody a receipt for their donation. Oh, you bet. I would be happy to take it. What I have encouraged is, you know, I don't want the people that use Salona to feel like they need to donate.
Right. No, I don't think so either.
Because,
but
you know, obviously the economic condition.
But you know, there's a lot of people. I mean, look at Star Trek Guide. You know, we weren't taking donations for a while too, but we
David's Forum.
Yeah, that's my site, and you know, we didn't take donations for a long time, and you know, after a while, it's like, you know, we do have bills to pay, and maybe it would be nice to take donations, and we're not a 50, you know, we're not a nonprofit, but we take donations, and a lot of people just donate because they like what we do.
This
and
podcast has a donation tab, which very few people are aware of, but or just ignore. But it's there because I, you know, we pay some. There are some bills to pay for the show, you know, hosting. So yeah,
Yeah, and certainly there are. And you know, there's bills to pay for our site, and oh, you know, sure. we don't make money off of it, but it pays the bills, and that's what's important, really, is that it has to pay the bills. And you know, we didn't do nonprofit, but it doesn't matter to people, really. I mean, maybe that the donations would increase either way, but you can start taking donations right away without having to be a nonprofit.
David, take that speech and go tell it to Twitter. This dog just came out saying he doesn't want to sell Twitter to anybody. Well, I thought, so I have one more recorded captcha that is, I just can't resist playing just to close the conversation out. Here we go.
Please type the words with spaces between them.
It's also recapped.
Don't worry if you have trouble with one word. Just enter your best guess.
I wish there was something I could do to help you.
Thanks.
Once again, the word.
Something I could do to help you.
Well, there is something we can do to help you if you have free time. Go into Salona and volunteering. Saw some cats.
Boy, I would be really, really thankful because right now, and I'm sure you all have a global. I know Igor, evil heart is in a different time zone.
He lives in Switzerland.
Oh, okay. I didn't pick that, but you know what Salona really needs is a good Europe-based operator. I mean, just someone who can turn it on while I'm sleeping. Someone. There's one other operator in Florida who is East Coast, obviously. Mm-hmm. We just, you know, we keep it as open as long as possible, and that's really about it. Yep. A couple things, and I can type these in quickly. Maybe I can pass them on to y'all later. Microsoft applied for a patent to advertise within captures.
Oh, good grief!
Oh boy!
Now they did not. Publicized this. It just sort of came out as a, you know, one-liner. I wrote an article about it. That's a pretty big development. And my comment in the article that I wrote on Salona is, hey, if Microsoft is going to make money on this type of security device, damn well better make sure that a granny can solve it and a screen reader user can solve it.
How about this? Let them patent it. That way no one else can use it, so we won't see a bunch of advertising and captures all across the net.
You'll just see all Microsoft advertisements.
Well, only on Microsoft sites. Yeah. SL Jackson said, to register for this website, buy Windows.
So I thought I would just kind of throw that out there.
We'll keep an eye on that. That'll be weird if that happens.
Yeah. Now I also heard you all talking about images. Yahoo has a sandbox project called Pictcha. And Pictcha is sort of this project I think they have out there. They throw some money at it once in a while, where you solve the security, you know, answer based on tags that should be in the picture. That's kind of interesting too.
That's interesting.
Good, not good. You know, I just thought I'd kind of throw that out there too. The concept of 3D captcha is pretty powerful. You know, there are several out there. There are many captcha vendors that just offer free captchas. Some of them are secure. Some of them are less secure. So Microsoft had one back in 2007, I think. Called Asira, and Asira is this program that works with petfinder.com where you like pick all the cats out of 10 images or pick all of the dogs out of 10 images. But it's sort of like Latin, you know, I think it's just a dead project. So I thought I'd throw that out there for the group too.
Well, Bernard Maldonado, owner of Salona.net, and if you're visually impaired and you're listening and you have not used them before, go check them out. And if you were not visually impaired and have some free time, go help.
What kind of struck me is it's interesting. You wouldn't consider the time that Bernard spent talking with us as free time, really, because he was in an interview on a podcast, and yet he solved 5-6 captchas. So really, in reality, you know, it can be just part of your normal workflow. If you're just doing stuff on the computer, you're at home, you know, you're just doing things, and you can have Salona up there, and something pops up, you can quickly solve the captcha. It doesn't sound that hard.
It really doesn't. In fact, you know, if one of you just are curious, you know, maybe after recording or a day, you know, later in the week, hey, register, I'll make you an operator, and you can just kind of see how it works. Yeah. You know, the neat thing is...
I said in the chat room, next week, everyone in the chat room will be required to solve captchas during the show. You can't solve at least 4 captchas, you can never listen to the show again.
Well, you know, the neat thing about doing this is, you know, I'm in Dallas, and I guess, you know, this is a big football weekend. I mean, at Texas OU, I'm probably the only one in Dallas not at the game, you know. You can sit on your sofa. I watch TV and just keep the laptop polling open, and if I see a little pop up, I'll just turn my head, solve it, go back to TV. It's very non-invasive. You can solve captchas in your underwear. You know, you don't have to leave your house. You don't have to go walk dogs at the pound. You don't have to pick up poop. You know, it's just a real easy way to just do something good. Uh-huh. You know? There's no phone, no phone calls, no phone banks, nothing. No licking envelopes. Mm. There's no plugins either. There's no software to download. It's just your browser and just enable pop-ups, and that's all there is to it.
But it's a volunteer job, so no 80 cents per 1,000 deal this time.
Well, and actually on that, I think I've deleted them. I should save them and put them in a Salona museum someday, but I get offers from those people.
Oh, great.
Hey, I've got 5 operators. I can solve captchas. This is my... They want to charge me $2. So, hell, I can go to Twitter and find them for 80 cents. Why would I pay you $2? So, I've been solicited by people who want to, you know, get paid to solve, you know, thousands and thousands of captchas. So,
well... To move on, so we don't keep the show going too much longer, wanted to just restate our PHP BB Weekly poll question, which is left over from our discussion last week. If you were to add a step to the mod validation workflow, what would it be? There's some interesting choices, so head over to our website. You'll see the poll question on the right-hand sidebar. Go vote. That poll has been extended to October 31st, when we will reveal the answers. Our mods of the week, as I promised they would be last week, are the winners from the CAPTCHA contest, and so we're going to feature both of them, and since we've already discussed them a little bit, probably don't need too much introduction, but the first one is Fancy jQuery CAPTCHA by M to the Eichel, and as we described, this CAPTCHA, which requires 3.0.6, essentially offers 5 different icons and tells you to drag one of them into the circle, the one clearly marked drop here, and to solve it you essentially click on the what it tells you to drag and drag it into the circle. It's great, it's amazing, it's easy, and if you as long as you have a mouse you can probably solve it. So there you go, that is the winner of the Community Choice and Speedster Awards in the contest. That is the first mod of the week. And for an unprecedented second mod of the week, we're also going to give another highlight to the Sortables CAPTCHA plugin by Durkee, which is the mod team's choice of mod of the CAPTCHA plugin. This CAPTCHA plugin adds 2 separate columns. It's required, you can customize your own questions, but essentially you add a bunch of options to one column, and the user has to sort the options from one to the other column, and they do it by dragging them with a mouse. So one clear example is like a question, what do you include for tomato soup? Well, you're going to obviously include tomatoes, so you'll drag, and you're probably not going to include bananas and apples. So since the default column is what's in the pan, you would drag bananas and apples over to the throwaway column in order to solve the CAPTCHA. So this is actually... requires a little bit of creativity on the part of the administrator, but it's kind of interesting as for some rather interesting CAPTCHA options, and probably will be difficult for bots to try to figure out the answer to. So that is Durkee's Sortables Capture plugin. There are the two mods of the week. And David's going to do the style of the week, since this is one that he picked last week and that we delayed to this week. So go ahead, David.
Okay, this one is the style for PHP3 is called Afterburner by Rocket Theme. And I've been kind of aching to do one from them. It's not one of their best. It is their free PHP3 style, though. And one thing that I do like about this is the fact that it's unique. Uniquely different, that is, than from normal Pro Silver or Sub Silver 2 type of styles. So go check it out. Afterburner is the style of the week by a Rocket Theme.
Now, how freestyle. Is it different? Just briefly, how is this one different?
As far as the layout goes, obviously you have your search and your main menu and user menu content and login form on the left instead of in a vertical format. So, and then you have your categories and forum on the right. Now, obviously, your category and forum display is still a normal-looking display as far as, you know, how PHP3 looks. But as far as the layout goes, they did change a lot of stuff around. And I think, based on some of their previous styles, they've usually just basically reorganized the forum using CSS only. So it's... that's one of the things that I like about them. You know, they don't go through and do a whole lot of recoding. They just basically recode the CSS file to make a completely different look. Mm. And as far as where things are organized and where their placements are on the page.
Yeah.
So that's mainly how it's different. It doesn't look, when you look at it, you don't say, oh, Pro Silver or Sub Silver 2. And a lot of the styles released for PHP 3, when you look at it, you go, oh, Pro Silver or Sub Silver 2. And so that's why I like this style. You know, there's nothing glamorous about it. It's fairly boxy. You know, it's just white and basically just a couple shades of light blue. And so it's nice and clean. But nothing glamorous, but it is different. And that's what I like about it.
There you go. All right. And that brings us to a close of another episode. Remember, our website is phpbbweekly.net. Check it out for show notes and links to things that we've talked about in this show. And the chat log will also be on there, which includes many other links that Bernard supplied to other sites throughout the show that I'm not going to try to get in the show notes just because I don't have that much free time. But you can check out some of the other things that he's mentioned, some other examples of interesting captchas, some that are good, some that are not as good, but go check that out there. Also, we are live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1700 UTC. On Ustream, and you can join in live at phpbbweekly.net/live, as have about 32 people today. We had quite a large number of guests today, so welcome those of you who are probably new to phpbbweekly. Thanks for listening. Also, our forum, the phpbbweekly podcast forum at StarTrekGuide.com, where you can discuss the show when we are not live, etc. Our next live show will be next Saturday, October 24th, episode number 126, at one same time. We are going to get to a topic we did not get to today, which is Techie Michael's new What Do These Vulnerabilities Mean video that he posted on Star Trek Guide about a week ago. From what I've heard, I still need a chance to catch up myself, but a very interesting video with a lot of information about security, so... We'll talk very in-depth about it with Michael on the show next week. Should be a very interesting show for those of you interested in security.
And even for those not interested in security, it's very, very eye-opening and definitely worth watching, and you'll definitely want to hear Michael's commentary on it. And this is just one in a series of several videos that he's going to be doing. Michael's actually in the process of a move to California right now, so he's still trying to get his apartment and internet set up and everything, so the other videos are a little bit delayed for that reason.
Move to California. I wonder if I can hitchhike. Anyway, so I am Douglas Bell.
And I'm David Lewis from Washington State.
And big thanks again to Bernard for joining us today. Had a great conversation.
Oh, and thank you for inviting me. I know that I had a great time doing this, and certainly appreciate y'all providing a platform to have a good intellectual discussion.
And hope to have you on in the future.
Hey, it was our pleasure.
I really appreciate it. It was very, very kind.
So thanks for listening. Remember, a successful community begins with you, Tag.
Tag, you're it.
See you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.